Smith Sabatino here, Roland Smith with Carl Sabatino. Carl, we were just talking about your conversations with your old friend Nikki. And for some reason, when you were talking about that, it reminded me of something I did a few years ago. I've always wanted to visit all of our national monuments. And this was one time I happened to be in Philadelphia, and I had never seen the Liberty Bell.
It's an interesting trip, yes.
And you have seen it.
Yes, I have.
Well, I mean, it's certainly one of our national treasures, and all Americans, I think, should go see it.
Because I agree.
There's a great story behind it. When I was there, it was a nice, I think it was an early summer day, small crowds, families mostly, and a few foreign visitors. There were two security agencies manning the entrance of the Liberty Bell, the National Park Service security, with weapons, Carl, I might add, and the Homeland Security folks with weapons. Now, everyone had to go through the scanner checkpoints, mm-hmm. Like you do anywhere these days, even through the airports. Little kids, 7 to 8 years old, were in front of me and were gruffly told to empty their pockets, take off their caps, their sweatshirts that they had around their waists. And then it came my turn, and they said, remove your watch and stuff in your pockets and your belt. And, I went through fine, but the security guy said to me, do you have a wallet? And I said, yes. I'd forgotten to take the wallet out. He says, go back and put that through. Just kind of like that. Now, Carl, I'm all for security. I'm all for security with common sense.
Yes.
We've talked about this before.
Yes.
But somehow my visit to the Liberty Bell lost its mystique and a lot of its symbolism. The Liberty once resonated with a ringing of the bell, and it's vanished with the scanner, the weapons, and the attitude of security personnel today.
Well, I agree. When I visited it, we did not have that. This goes back now some 25 years ago.
It had just rung when you visited it.
Just went off. I was telling Benny. Ben Frank. I called him Benny.
Didn't you call him Nicky?
No, Benny.
No, just Benny.
It was Benny. Anyway, but
I ruined your train
of
thought.
No, that's
here.
Okay, because I really, this is a very good point. We've been able to tolerate this security lack of courtesy in the airports for some time now. They've gotten better at it, but in the course of the last 5 years, I've noticed it has just gotten worse. You don't necessarily have to be rude to be able to get people to do what has to be done. We understand that. We got it. We understand there's a security screen and we're going through a medical detector and all that kind of thing. But the hiring and how they are hiring these people and who they're hiring, this is the old expression, you give them a badge and a gun and good heavens. It does not mean that you have to be disrespectful to people.
Also, it doesn't mean that given a badge and a gun, somebody's going to turn into something else that they were not before.
Yes.
There are some personalities that change with a badge and a gun, and there are some that stay the same, and they put their lives on the line for people like you and I.
Yes, and they do it remarkably well. And given the amount of travel and the amount of tourism we have in this country— they have done an exemplary job, without question. But could it be done in some places with a better degree of care and attention to the human frailties of life, and that is respect and being able to just say, "Would you please?" Words like "please" are very, very helpful in a situation like that, as opposed to "take it off" or "could you please remove your jacket." And I've seen, made a comment to one of these gentlemen about that. I said the word "please" doesn't necessarily come out of the American American dictum because you have a gun and a badge. And he wasn't particularly pleased about I said that.
I'm sure he wasn't.
But I said it because he was extremely rude to these people, and some were foreign tourists who very quickly did it. And I was balking at it by the way he was asking, For God's sake, just say please is a nice word.
Yes, it is.
And it works. It doesn't necessarily make the security system any less effective by being courteous. That's my point.
No. Another subject?
Please.
2015.
Yes.
What are your hopes and wishes for the year?
Oh, gosh. I'm hoping for health for everyone. I'm just hoping we don't. I have this feeling that if we're not careful, we're going to tip over into a very bad period. And I'm hoping that does
not
happen.
I don't want to even support that kind of thought.
No, but I'm hoping that does not happen. I'm very optimistic about, and we talked about some of them today, about the future of medicine, the changes that are taking place on the planet by natural causes, like the price of oil and its supply and demand, where we're now, jobs are there. Literally, by the way, newspapers are putting their for wanted ads back in, by the way, in some cities around the country, not just relying upon the. That's a very exciting.
Well, yeah, the economy is doing very, very well.
And that's going to help us a great deal because we've come through some very tough times. But I'm wishing and hoping that if there's one thing I could say, more civility. More civility.
Well, I would certainly support you. In that hope,
simple civility.
And that wish.
You know, that's if I can. That's the one I could have right now that might work and is doable. Civility.
Well, you know, beginnings like 2015 and endings like 2014, they all have different expectations.
Yes,
we finished some from 14, and we've got other ones coming up for 15, and I would hope and share with you to see. A new agreement among our politicians.
Oh boy!
You know, find a way to compromise for the greater good, not for the aggrandizement of your particular party or your individual belief systems.
I would add one thing to that: to remind them that they are in the public trust. Three simple words: in the public trust, and we are trusting. You gentlemen and ladies who were elected to represent us at the seat of government. And that's very simple. If they remember that, we might have some. Your wishes will come true.
You know, I go back. I mean, I covered the White House on the
you
Hill back
Capitol Hill,
in,
sure.
What year was that? Probably 19... Oh,
70s? Was it in the 70s?
No, this was 69. It was during Nixon, the last year of his administration. 69, 70. And I remember people like Ev Dirksen.
Oh, gosh, he was one.
People like Gerry Ford.
Yes.
Before he was president.
Henry Jackson.
Scoop Jackson.
Scoop Jackson.
Absolutely. I mean, these people would argue on the floor of either chamber and then get together for a drink in the after the session closed down.
That's correct. They were able to talk to each other.
Yeah.
And that's the key. And you hit on something very, very important. The ability to be able to talk to each other, to be able to open the dialogue. These people, you think they're from Mars and Venus, for God's sake, that there are two different, completely different cultures that are meeting in these very special chambers. They're not. They're human beings, and they happen to be Americans, and talk to each other. Discuss. It's very simple. Just discuss.
It doesn't mean you're going to have agreement.
No, of course not.
What it means is that you'll find an avenue where you can continue to talk and not have the acrimony, not have the contention that so permeates our Congress today.
A friend of mine once said, he said, the way conversation starts, and I remember it well, he was a salesman for BBDO, the ad agency, and he said to me, it starts with John, Mary, Frank, Bill, you got a minute? You got a minute?
Yep.
Let's talk. You got a minute? All I need is a minute. And that opens up the conversation, which can go on for an hour or two. But do you got a minute? And I never forgot that, because that would be my, that always was my, can I trouble you for just a moment? That starts the conversation going.
Yes, it does.
Which is what we do here on this show. Even when we have nothing to say, we keep right on going.
Well, you know, that's true. I mean, people don't really realize when we come in here, we have some notes that we have taken, and we have some thoughts that we might want to discuss. But nothing is ever really that planned, unless we have a guest that we have to call at a specific time. That, in fact, is planned, and because we think that they're interesting people, and we'll, have a conversation with them.
But it is, and I'm hoping, and I do believe our listeners in the year 2015, as they stay with us and grow, that they will note the conversations that we have, because they are important.
Well, I personally would like to wish everybody that's choosing to listen to us a very, very happy New Year. I hope it's a good one.
I'm looking forward to it, Ronald, and I'm looking forward to behind these microphones with you. All we can do is get into trouble. We've done enough of that, haven't we?
Oh, let's continue.
Carl Sabatino with Roland Smith, America Weekend, the Envision Radio Networks. We want you to stay with us through this year of 2015. And as I always say, until next time.
America Weekend.
Have you heard? Proactiv Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited-time offer. Give us a call at 800-568-5857, because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv Plus risk-free. And get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactiv Plus now and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactiv Plus, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 800-568-5857. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Call 800-568-5857. That's 800-568-5857.